I want to read a passage from the 8th chapter of 2 Corinthians. And I'll read the first 5 verses. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. That's the first 5 verses of the 8th chapter of 2 Corinthians. Now, I thought last Sunday I was about through with this subject of talking to wives and women, and that I would be talking to men for a little while, and husbands. The Bible balances everything up just like it should be. But when I was in the shower last Tuesday morning, this passage came to me and opened up a little area here, and before I pass on from this, why, I want to catch up a few loose ends that came up in my study and my meditation. Now, this 5th verse, it sets forth a principle that I feel applies good in many areas of human relations. And if we'll do it this way, we'll get along better than if we don't do it this way. Paul says this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. And I thought when that hit me while I was in the shower Tuesday morning that was a very important point to consider in what we've been discussing already and what I thought I was about through with of women submitting to their husbands and being adorned with a meek and quiet spirit. And so on, he said, they first gave themselves unto the Lord. And then unto us, by the will of God. And I feel that especially fits right in here because there are other scriptures that confirm this. Yes, Lord. And this verse, it's in a different setting. I'm taking it out of its setting here to apply it this way. But I feel that as I mentioned that there's a principle here that will fit well with our association in our human relationships in many areas. Yes, If we'll first give ourselves unto the Lord, we can get along a lot better.
Amen.
With the people that we are connected with and have dealings with.
Amen.
Now, this was in the case of the Apostle Paul and his associates, his companions, taking up a collection among the Gentile churches to aid the poor saints up at Jerusalem. And he mentions here about the churches in Macedonia, and they were in a great trial of affliction themselves. But folks, we never get in any such a shape that we can't be a blessing to somebody if we will.
Amen.
If we'll just first give ourselves to the Lord, He'll make us a blessing to somebody that needs us, whatever kind of condition we're in. And these folks were in a great fight of affliction and in deep poverty. These folks down there in Macedonia that Paul was writing this letter to, they were in deep poverty. He was writing it to the Corinthians, but relating about his contact with those people down there in Macedonia. And he said, "For to their power, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves." Here are some folks that heard about some brethren up in Jerusalem that was worse off than they were. And an effort was being made to get some help to them. And he said, "To their power, yea, and beyond their power." These folks gave sacrificial gifts.
Amen.
They give till it hurt. They give when they couldn't afford to give. They were in deep poverty. Beyond their power, he said, they were willing of themselves. And it seems that Paul must have taken in this situation a little and was pretty reluctant to receive their gift, seeing the great need they had themselves. But he said, they prayed us with much entreaty that we would accept this gift and take upon us the ministering to the poor saints. They just wanted to help. They wanted to do their bit. And he said, this they did. They first gave themselves to the Lord and then unto us by the will of God. And I note that he said down here, the abundance of their joy. When they gave themselves to the Lord, God clothed their souls with beauty and with His grace and the sacrifice that they made, God's blessing was upon it and produced great joy in their hearts. And folks, I somehow got the idea there could be something like this work out in the lives of married couples, husbands and wives, parents of children, heads of homes, if they would follow this pattern and just first give themselves to the Lord and then to one another by the will of God, as God expressed it. How beautifully this principle fits into this relationship between a man and his wife. And while the Bible requires her to submit to her husband What a beauty it would take on, and what a great joy would be manifest, and how abundant would be the blessings of God if those wives just first give themselves unto the Lord and let Him clothe their souls with beauty and adorn their souls with the meek and quiet spirit and fill their hearts with the joy of the Lord and all. And in that attitude and that disposition, they would submit to their husbands all the great blessing that God would produce in that. In Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verse 22, we have a text which says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." Now that's just what this text is saying. You've given yourself to the Lord, now give yourself to your husband in the same way. Just submit yourself to him just like you have to the Lord. This text is saying that just as you submit yourself unto the Lord, submit yourself to your husband in the same way. But submit to the Lord first. Then to your husband. In the going on down in this 5th chapter of Ephesians, from verse 22 on to the close of the chapter, it's discussing Christ and the church and the man and his wife. Back and forth, the relationship between them, and folks, it brings it out that the relationship between them is identical. The relationship between a man and his wife is identical with the relationship between Christ and the church, and between your soul and Christ. The 22nd verse says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." And the 25th verse says, "Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church." It's just in and out, back and forth, all the way down through those verses, comparing and drawing a line of parallel between the relationship of the man and his wife and the relationship of Christ and the church, and bringing them out as identical. Now God has done all things well, and the scripture says all his ways are perfect. Amen. Everything that God did was perfect. And the psalmist said, "He makes my way perfect." If we'll just come under the provisions that God has made in this area and all the other areas and phases of our lives, He'll make our way perfect. Yes. He'll bless our lives and make our lives a blessing. Now, again, the Word of God says He has made all things beautiful. And when God set up the family unit and the relationship between the husband and the wife and instituted marriage, He gave us a beautiful thing. And it's perfect. If we do the will of God perfectly from our hearts, this is perfect. And God's blessings will abound in our lives. In fact, God was looking down through the years when He instituted marriage, when He gave Eve to Adam, and Adam understood what that was. I don't know how he understood it. He hadn't had any teaching along this line. But he understood what that was. He said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. and they two shall be one flesh. Now he understood that. Adam had a lot of wisdom. He wasn't satisfied. Eve wasn't satisfied. When the devil told them, "You'll become as gods, knowing good and evil if you eat this fruit," they thought that is a way to advance themselves and increase themselves in wisdom. But they had a lot of wisdom. And Adam had that wisdom to understand what that was. And he made that basic remark in connection with it. But God was looking clear on down the line. This is a prototype of Christ and the church, and the scripture makes that as plain as it makes anything. And he was looking clear on down the line when Christ would come and gather out the people and save them from their sins and unite them with himself, and that relationship would exist there between them, just like he was instituting right there in the beginning with Adam and Eve. And he's made all things beautiful in their time. Now, I say that if you first give yourself to the Lord and get your soul adorned with beauty by His grace, and your heart filled with joy, it'll be a precious experience to you to just walk according to His instructions and submit yourself unto your husband and receive in return the blessings that go along with that. Now, Christ is the hub and center of the whole thing. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Just like you've submitted to the Lord, why, submit yourself to your own husbands. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church. You see, He's the hub and center of the whole thing. And if we enter into our lives that way, we will receive the blessings of the Lord to us and to our posterity, to our children, and even to their children. The effects will reach out, and God will put His seal upon it, and it will affect our children and their children on down the line. Now these scriptures show that the relationship between a man and his wife, and bringing it down more particularly between you and your wife and you and your husband, is identical with the relationship between your soul and Christ and the church. And it's very beautiful and very rewarding to just live it out that way. Now, I made the statement last Sunday, And this is a little loose end I wanted to catch up on here. God has particular objectives in all that He does. He does nothing at random. There's no trial and error with God. He knows just how things are going to work out when He institutes something. When He sets it up, He knows just what He's after and just how it'll work out. And he has particular objectives in all the arrangements that he makes. And I kind of dropped the thought right there, but I thought I should catch up some loose ends on that. Now that's so in this arrangement. He has made the home and family arrangement. God made that. God set it up. He arranged everything just like his word outlines it. And he had particular objectives in that. Now the home is where those children are going to grow up. That's where they're going to receive their basic training in moral values and in life values in general. They're going to get their basic training right there in the home. And they will receive by the example of their parents the basic instructions of human behavior. If a woman is not submissive to her husband, those children are going to see that. And they'll not be submissive to either one of them, the mother or their father either. The reason, because they don't know how. They've never seen an example of it worked out before them. And so they grow up not knowing what submission is. Consequently, they're going to be problem children in the home. They'll be problem children in the schools. They'll be problem people out there in society. They'll be problem people in the church. Because they've never learned the basics. God says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. And he's got it set up just like he set it up for the purpose of setting a proper example before those children that they might be trained. You don't train children just by telling them and just by teaching them, but you train them by showing them. That's the way Jesus taught us, by precept and by example. He gave the precept, he laid down the rule, if you want to call it that, and then he just says, now watch me and I'll show you how to do it. And he lived it right out before them. You can talk submission, subjection, obedience to your children all you want to, but if you don't show them how to do it, they're not going to know how to do it. And they'll just grow up without knowing. In a home where there is not a proper relationship between the parents and the mother fails to show the proper respect and reverence to her husband before the children, those children will grow up without proper respect for either of them nor for anyone else because they don't know how and have never seen any clear examples of it. In a family where each of the parents live their own lives independent of the other, the children will just naturally develop character traits like that and go into the flow of society with independent positions and not know how to fit in with the general fabric of society. Now, it's a breakdown in the home relationships that's producing all this we have out here in the world today. A big part of it. This kind of family life is so prevalent today that we have produced a generation with an every fellow for himself and the devil for us all attitude. That's the way the world's living. The idea of associating together and cooperating together and bearing one another's burdens, it's an entire stranger to a big part of this world out here, old and young. It's just way out there, and they don't get that idea at all. Their idea is every fellow for himself. Don't you bother me and I won't bother you. You go your way, I'll go mine. That's the way a lot of homes are. That's the way a lot of parents are. I had a brother-in-law. He and his wife, they never had anything in common, only just two people living in the same house. And they occupied separate bedrooms. They each went their own way. They had separate bank accounts. And each one paddled his own canoe. They took their vacations at different times, and the wife would take her vacation and go off with a carload of her lady friends, and they'd go somewhere, and after a while he'd get his vacation and go somewhere else and do something different, and that's just the way they lived. Well, I don't think they're the only ones like that. I think you could find a lot of homes with parents like that. And if perchance people are living that fashion and in that way of life, there, and they have young children coming up in the home, they're training those children that way. Those children see all of that. And that's their pattern. That's our example. Dad and mother lived this way. That's the way to live. That's all they know. They'll have a home just like that. Their children will come up in that same pattern. And they'll go on out and promulgate the same thing and carry out the same pattern. And what that actually results in is what Brother Gene Harmon called God's broken creation. I've heard him pray many times for God to have mercy on his broken creation. It's just a bunch of people out here, hodgepodge. No common aims and no common interests, and every fellow for himself, and everybody going his own way and doing his own thing. Well, they've been brought up that way. That's the pattern they've seen. And so that's all they know. Maybe they're doing the best they can. God never intended it that way. But misdirected home and family living has produced this to a great extent. Of course, there are other contributing factors to that too. But this, I feel, is one of the principal ones. Now, we are living today in a very different world to what I came up in. And the world that our parents lived in, our world today is very different. We are living in the blossoming out of the women's lib movement. And this movement is not as new as we think it is. It had its inception 65 or 70 years ago in that time. And it was during the First World War that things began to happen to husband and wife relationships and to home life that was the beginning of this movement. At that time, women left their homes, went into the plants and factories, took public jobs, and abandoned their responsibility of guiding the house and bringing up the children. Many children were just turned loose. Evelyn told me about some folks. This was down in the Second World War, and things were at a pretty far advanced rate of development then. Some women that she knew that took employment in defense plants and took their little children and left them asleep in the car. They worked at night, went in and fulfilled their shift and left their little children to sleep in the car. Just abandoned the care and responsibility of guiding the house and taking care of the children and maintaining the home and all like God had ordained. God didn't ordain this women's lib movement.
No, he didn't.
And God never ordained life to be as it is in this world today. It's going way off course to what he had in mind for it to go. And judgment is hanging heavy over the heads of the populace of this world today because they are a way off course and following a different way of life. Now, the result of this was that women came more or less self-supporting. Along with that came an independent attitude from their husbands. They weren't dependent on him anymore. They were making their own way. Home was neglected, and it led to divorces and increased divorces. We're living in a world now that the ratio is about, down in Los Angeles, in that area, they say it's 50-50. Divorces and marriages. Half of them break up. Now, in my young days, you never heard of a thing like that. People got married to stay married. Back in my parents' days, and in the days when I was coming up, divorce was a very rare thing. Separation was pretty rare too. And if a husband and his wife separated, it was the common talk of the whole community that they were separated. That was just such a rare thing that it excited the people if something like that happened, and it is common topic of conversation. Divorce? Anybody got a divorce in those days, they were blacklisted. They just were signed off. They didn't want anything to do with anybody like that. Now, that's the world I came up in. I say we're living in a vastly different world now to what I came up in. But all of these things, the whole package, is responsible for this and feeds this. And it's increasing all the time as these other tendencies increase and in proportion to it. Women stayed home in those days, guided their house, took care of their children, taught and trained their children. And you hear remarks sometimes about the good old days. Well, that was them back there. That was the good old days. Life was on a more simple basis. And there was more happiness and satisfaction and contentment among the people.
That's true.
People in general were just content. They were abiding in the calling wherewith God called them, and God was blessing them with contentment.
Amen.
Even the people of the world, outside people, unsaved people, the general prevailing atmosphere over the overall picture in my younger days was contentment among the people. And they were satisfied. Anybody that will live according to God's ordained plan and purpose, saved or unsaved, is going to receive certain blessings. And everybody was enjoying these same blessings back in those days of contentment and satisfaction. And the women were happy in staying home and taking care of their children. Their children was their first priority. And the children knew that. The children knew they were loved. The children knew somebody cared. Somebody was looking after them, and they responded to that. And they were more obedient. And they were more submissive and respectful to their parents and to society in general. It just begets an atmosphere of that kind.
Yes.
And that's the way that they lived in those days, but that's a far cry from the way they're living now, isn't it?
Amen.
But it all came in with this inception of this woman's lib movement. Started way back there in the First World War. And that would be between 65 and 70 years ago. And it has developed now, blossomed out to where women are in public life the same as men. All phases of it. Everywhere. Mr. Schuller down there in Anaheim, California, he was describing the big cathedral he was building. It cost $19 million to build it. And how large it was, and it spanned a whole block, and it was so wide, and said the beams welded together 60 feet up there in the air. Gave a description of it, and he said, "Now I'll introduce you to the engineer on this job." And it was a woman. A 35-year-old woman. Engineering a job like that. They have women in the army now. And they have women umpiring in the major leagues now. And they have women in the state police force right here in Oregon and maybe clear across the country. I know they have them here. And they have women truck drivers. Cross country, long trip truck drivers. And they pair them off. A man and a woman driving across the country in a truck with a sleeper cab, and one of them sleeping and the other driving. No connection between them. I say there's something the matter with women that even want to go into those kind of activities and engage in those kind of things. I say there's something the matter with the women. But we're out in pretty full blossom now of the women's lib movement until they can take you to court and get judgment against you if you discriminate against them in any area. Anything they want to do. This has turned out to be pretty much a woman's world. And I'm not against the women, I'm for them. And I appreciate our saint women that behave better than that.
Amen.
And fulfill a better purpose in life than that. But I'm just telling you that's where the biggest part, I say there may be other contributing factors, and no doubt they are, but the big part of the problem with our society today lays right in here, in the breakdown of family life and home ties and things of that nature. And God knew what He was doing when He set this up, when He arranged this. And He fixed it up so it'd work right. And it did work right till we got all this other injected into it, and now it's not working right. But I say in the Church of God, among the saints, we should strictly observe God's plans and purposes and cooperate with Him in His objectives, regardless of how the world does out there. He says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. God's expecting the saints within the sacred enclosures of the church to behave themselves accordingly.